Good morning. My name is Michael Hickox. I'm an evangelist with the Olney Church of Christ. We are a group of Christians who meet here in Olney at 220 North Van Street. We meet at 9:30 on Sunday mornings for Bible study, 10:20 on Sunday mornings for worship, 2 p.m. on Sunday afternoons for worship, and 7 p.m. on Wednesday evenings for Bible study. We welcome visitors if you would like to join us as we assemble together to worship God and to study from His Word. We also offer in-home Bible studies if you would be interested in studying from the inspired Word of God to learn more about Him and about His will for us. We would be happy to study with you. You can contact us at 217-218-0803. You can also contact us and learn more about us through our website, which is olneychurchofchrist.org. The website, again, is olneychurchofchrist.org. And the number is 217-218-0803. This morning in our program, we will notice some things taught by God through His Word about God's plan of salvation. God's plan of salvation is in many ways the theme of the entire Bible, but we will look at some things here in our lesson this morning to help us gain a basic understanding of God's plan for saving us. And we'll look at three specific points to try to better understand what His plan of salvation is. Number one, we will consider why we need to be saved. Number two, we will consider what God did in order for us to be saved. And then thirdly, we will consider what we must do in order to be saved. So I want to consider first of all this question of why do we need to be saved? Why are we described in Scripture as being lost at some point at least in our lives? Why do we need salvation? And as we think about this question, I want to read something from Romans, the third chapter. Romans chapter 3. And I'll be reading from the World English Bible Translation here this morning. In Romans chapter 3 and in verse 23, the inspired apostle there says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." This verse teaches that each one of us who is at the age and has the mental capacity to know right from wrong, each one of us has sinned at some point in our lives. And what that means is each one of us at some point in our lives has disobeyed the will of God. We may not have done anything that the world views as despicable, but each one of us has done something that God views as despicable. Each one of us has sinned against Him. And as we think about His plan of salvation, it's good to begin there by considering the fact that every person who has ever walked the face of this earth, with one exception, and we'll get to that in a few minutes. But every other person with that one exception who has walked the face of this earth, who has reached the age of accountability, has at some point sinned against God. And we might then ask the question, well, what significance does that have? How does that put me in a bad spot, knowing that I have sinned against God? And if you look just a few chapters over at Romans, the 6th chapter, we get our answer to this. In Romans, the 6th chapter, and in verse 23, Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, notice the first 7 words of this verse. It says, "For the wages of sin is death." Now, this verse here has reference to spiritual death and ultimately eternal death when it states the wages of sin is death. What this verse is teaching is that when we sin against God, that sin separates us from Him. Death is a separation, and spiritual death involves being separated from God. And if we die physically while we are dead spiritually, that is, while we are separated from God, then we will face eternal death. That is eternal separation from God, as we will be faced with spending eternity in hell. And so what this verse teaches is that as a result of our sin, what we are faced with is reality of spending eternity in hell. That is the wages of our sin. And so when we ask this question, why do we need to be saved? We want to recognize that, first of all, we need to be saved because we have sinned against God. And what that sin against God then implies is that we are separated from God. And if we die physically, being separated from God spiritually, then we will face eternity in hell. But now we want to consider what God did in order to give us the chance to be saved. And if you're still there in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, we see a reference made to what God did in order to give us the chance to be saved. After saying that the wages of sin is death, the inspired apostle goes on to say, "But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Mankind, as a result of sin, faces eternal death. But what God has made possible through His grace and through His Son, Jesus Christ, is eternal life. And notice, as we turn over to Philippians chapter 2, what Jesus Christ did in order for us to have eternal life. If you look over at Philippians chapter 2, and I'll read verses 6 through 8. Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 through 8. Speaking about Jesus here, it says, "Who, existing in the form of God, didn't consider equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being made in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, He humbled himself, becoming obedient to death, yes, the death of the cross. These verses teach us about Jesus Christ, who is God's answer to man's great problem of sin. Jesus Christ is God the Son. He existed before he came to this earth. He's existed from eternity. But he came down to this earth as deity took on human form. And as a man, he walked this earth in perfect obedience to the will of the Father, and was obedient even to the point of giving his life on the cross. And upon his death and his resurrection, we now have the chance to have forgiveness of our sins, or remission of our sins, and we can thus be reconciled to God. We can be brought back into fellowship with God as that sin that separates us is forgiven. We can be brought back into fellowship with God, and thus we can have eternal life in heaven with him rather than facing eternity in hell. And so what God did to make salvation possible for us was to come up with this plan that involved him sending his only begotten Son into the world. And it involved Jesus living a perfect life of obedience before going to the cross and dying that horrible death and then being raised the third day. Through Jesus, we now can be saved. We see this brought out in Hebrews, the 5th chapter, and in verse 9. In Hebrews chapter 5 and in verse 9, speaking about Jesus, the Son of God, it says, "Having been made perfect, he became to all those who obey him the author of eternal salvation." And so as we think about God's plan of salvation, we want to begin by recognizing that we have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and we therefore need salvation. We want to then recognize that God made it possible for us to have salvation by sending Jesus into the world, and through Jesus' perfect life, his death, and his resurrection, we now can be saved from sin. But notice here in this verse that Jesus, it says, became the author of eternal salvation, not just to anyone and everyone, but specifically to all those who obey him. And so in order for us to receive the salvation that God makes possible through Jesus Christ, we must do something in response. And that leads us into the third point of our lesson, which is what we must do in order to be saved. If you look over in Romans, the 10th chapter, in Romans, the 10th chapter, we have a verse there that tells us something that is at the foundation of us being led to salvation. If we are going to be saved through Jesus, we must trust him, and then as Hebrews 5 points out, we must obey him. But in order for us to trust and obey him, we must have some basis for that trust and some basis that tells us how to obey him. And that is brought out here in Romans, the 10th chapter, and in verse 17. Notice there the inspired apostle says, so faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so in order for us to do what is necessary to receive the salvation that God offers through Jesus Christ, we must hear the word of God. The word of God is the seed that makes Christians. The word of God is what leads to faith and obedience to the will of the Father. It begins by hearing the word of God, hearing the message of Jesus proclaimed. God did his part to make salvation possible. Now we need to hear what he's done. But we need to follow up that hearing of the word of God with a belief in Jesus as the Son of God. Notice what is said over in Mark, the 16th chapter. In Mark chapter 16 and in verse 16, Jesus there was speaking to his apostles as he was preparing them to go into all the world to teach the gospel. And he told them there in that verse, he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who disbelieves will be condemned. We'll come back to this word baptized that is used in this verse more in just a moment. But notice that Jesus says, he who believes. Not only do we need to hear the word of God proclaimed, but we need to hear it with the right kind of heart, an honest and good heart, as it's referred to in Luke, the 8th chapter, and in verse 15. And upon hearing the word of God with an honest and good heart, we will then be led to believe it is truth. We will be led to believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And so when we consider what we must do to be saved, we must hear the truth proclaimed. And we must respond to that, whether we hear it proclaimed verbally or whether we hear it by reading in our Bibles. We must respond to that truth of God that's revealed for us in his written word, the Bible. We must respond to that by believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. But not only must we have this belief in Christ as the Son of God, but we must be willing to confess that belief in Christ as the Son of God. Notice what is said over in Romans, the 10th chapter. In Romans chapter 10, we'll look this time at verse 10. Of this chapter. Romans chapter 10 and in verse 10. The inspired apostle there speaks about belief first when he says, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness. And then he goes on to say, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. But as you look over at Acts chapter 2, we see a couple other things that are needful from us in order to be saved. It's not enough just to believe Jesus is the Son of God and to confess that belief. But we need to follow up that belief with obedience to him. And we see what's involved in obedience to him. Part of it, at least, here in Acts chapter 2 and in verse 38. Notice here in Acts chapter 2 and in verse 38, Peter there was speaking to some Jews who wanted to know what they needed to do in order to be right with God. And it says there, Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." So notice here in this verse, first of all, these individuals were told that they needed to repent. That word repent is a word that refers to turning in the opposite direction of something. And when it's used here in this context, it refers to turning in the opposite direction of sin. In other words, before we submit to Christ, we are living in sin. We must turn from that sin. We must determine we want to do what is right. We must determine we want to obey God, and we're willing to make the changes needed in our lives in order to obey Him. But then we also see here in this verse that we must be baptized, it says, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. Baptism does not come after somebody is saved, according to God. Baptism, God says here in this verse, is necessary in order for us to have forgiveness of sins. Baptism is necessary in order for us to be saved. That is what Scripture teaches in this verse, along with many others. And so notice then how these individuals Peter was speaking to, at least some of them, responded when we get down to verse 41. In verse 41, it says, "Then those who gladly received his word were baptized. There were added that day about 3,000 souls." And so about 3,000 souls responded to this message in obedience, and they were baptized in the name of Christ for the forgiveness of their sins. And we see then that they were added by the Lord to his church. But they didn't stop there. Notice what verse 42 goes on to say about these individuals. It says they continued steadfastly in the apostles' teaching and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and prayer. So these individuals not only responded to what God said was necessary in order to get into Christ, but after getting into Christ, they continued steadfastly in God's teaching, which is revealed through the apostles and what they taught, as we read in the New Testament. And so if we are going to receive the salvation that God offers through Jesus Christ, we must respond to what He requires of us to become a Christian and get into Christ, at the point that we are baptized for the forgiveness of our sins. And then we must live a life of obedience. If we don't live a life of obedience after becoming a Christian, we can fall from grace. So we must live a life of obedience to God. And if we do sin after becoming a Christian, God provides a means by which we can be saved. We see that alluded to in Acts 8:22. But we must first of all submit to what He requires in order to get into Christ and thus receive forgiveness of our sins. And this is brought out here in Acts the second chapter and in verse 38. And so as we tie all of this together, we want to recognize that first of all, each one of us who has reached the age of accountability has the need to be saved because of sin that we have committed. God did His part in making our salvation possible by sending His Son into the world to live a perfect life of obedience and then go to the cross, dying on the cross, being buried and being raised the third day. But now we must respond to Him in faith and obedience by submitting to these commands that we've looked at, revealed in God's Word. If you have any questions about anything that was stated this morning, if you'd like to study further or learn more about what God's will is for us, we would be happy to study with you. Please don't hesitate to reach out to us. You can contact us at 217-218-0803. You can also contact us and learn more about us through our website, which is allneechurchofchrist.org. We will conclude our 30-minute lesson here this morning with a hymn from the Favorite Hymns Quartet. Thank you very much for listening, and have a wonderful day.